This show is about spoilers and discussion. It's also about spooky things that are best enjoyed after you see the movie. So any movie we talk about, we recommend you go see. You've been warned.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Horror. There is no shortage of monsters to haunt our dreams.
Horror. You got red on you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Horror.
Alive. It's alive.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to Oh, the Horror. It's a look at modern and classic horror films from an expert and a newbie's perspective. I am the newbie, Steve Allman.
And I'm the expert, Rob Holmes. But today, there's a little bit of a twist on our normal formula.
Yes, this time, instead of Rob giving me his classic and modern takes on horror films, his recommendations of things that I should go see, this time, it is on my recommendation, because I had just stumbled upon this movie last year and fell head over heels in love with it, and it was talked up to me by all of my friends, and Rob, for some reason, hadn't seen it yet. So I highly recommended that he see it and that we do a show for it, because it really should not be ignored and is, in my opinion, kind of really overlooked for praise and accolades. And it is 2015's The Witch.
I was a little surprised. You know, a lot of modern horror, I don't really watch it as much. I think a lot of it gets overhyped because people are kind of desperate to glom onto something and hope that it's good in terms of horror. But there's so many great classics that are out there. But I got to say, this one, man, this one caught me by surprise a lot. And really, I enjoyed it a lot.
So I think I want to start off with asking you, you said you had a bit of a... like an avoidance for modern horror, as you call it.
A little bit, yeah.
Why, what do you think a modern horror movie needs to do, like, at the outset in order to get your attention to actually be worth your time or worthwhile?
It has to be unique. Like, I don't want it to follow the same suit as a lot of films do, where it just kind of hits the marks of everything that it needs to hit, and then... you know, you trudge through an hour and a half of whatever, you know, a generic horror film. I want it to stand out, whether it's cinematography, sound design, acting, script. Something has to, you know, it's the same thing on why they, when the Criterion chooses the Criterion Collection. It's for a reason. They always do. They're classics and considered great for... one or more aspects of the film. And I think, like, when it comes to horror, for the good stuff, you kind of have to treat it the way Criterion treats their stuff. Like, why does this movie stand out? Why does this one stand out from the rest of the pack of the same type of films that are being churned out year after year, especially in the horror genre?
And it's a tough thing to find, because you don't know what could be something, say, I think it's safe to say that we both loved this movie, The Witch.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, when you're hearing about movies, like, you know, either word of mouth or for trailers or whatever,
right?
How can you differentiate something like The Witch from, say, The Purge or something like that, where it's just premise and schlock and something like that? Because it's a tough thing to do nowadays.
Yeah, I think with The Witch, you know, once it started getting the praise that it did... it ended up on a lot of people's top 10 lists. Of course, there's some other films that ended up on top 10 lists this year, horror-wise, that I wasn't really into. But this one in particular, I definitely feel like it's a classic all on its own. I mean, it's right from the get-go. I mean, the score on that thing.
Yes.
Jesus.
I think when we get into... why don't we get into what makes it great for me? When I first saw this movie, I think... every single thing technically wise, we talk a lot about the technical aspects of what makes good, not only good horror movies, but good films. I think this is kind of a technical masterpiece in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Across the board.
Absolutely. It's master filmmaking from a first-time film director.
Apparently shot in all natural light, like Barry Lyndon Kubrick style. A magnificent score, a great visual keen eye that seems to be in the sort of classic style of classic cinema, like Georges Méliès, the way that some things are framed, and also still being in very modern while also taking the ideas of, you know, the 1600s into account. It's a very interesting balance to juggle visually. And I think that this is a perfect example as to great technical filmmaking, along with amazingly tight script writing.
I would say, like, great unexpected technical filmmaking and an unexpected script. Like, it didn't do a lot of the missteps that you see with a lot of these type of films. I mean, it was based on historical documents.
Yes, and tales and hearsay. About
right, right.
Like but also given its own twist.
Yeah, and I mean, it definitely has the language to it. I like that it's considered, what is it, a New England fairy tale is what they call it.
Yes, exactly. And I love that kind of distinction.
Because it's
bleak, but you can also kind of imagine it as a fairy tale in a weird way.
In a weird way, it's definitely more of the Grimm's fairy tale, the way you get into it. It caught me by surprise because I expected this movie to be... It is a psychological film, but they do show a lot as well. A lot of the stuff that you're like, okay, will it, won't it? Will we see this? Or is it, you know, a figment of imagination? They show a shit ton of stuff.
Getting into a bit of plot stuff so that we're not leaving anybody else out.
It's about
a 1600s family that is banished from their village or colony.
It's like, really. It's like 1630. They're banished from their colony for,
I guess, generic witchcraftery or not being Jesus-y enough.
I feel like it's religious reasons, and I feel like the father had a way of doing something, I guess, that didn't match with what everyone else was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was too much religion, maybe not enough religion.
But it really it doesn't seem to matter so much.
No, it really doesn't. It's what makes it so terrifying right off the bat, and you know that you're in for something, is that broken orchestral score.
Right.
And then you're holding on to these camera shots. I mean, this is
some
where...
Some shots lasting for like 2 minutes
but
at
this
a time.
But this is what makes the difference between... an amateur filmmaker and somebody who, yes, it's his first film, but it's a masterpiece in the way this guy knows film. This guy understands directing. He understands how to put together a good composition.
Yeah.
So the fact that, it was shot in 25 days.
It was shot in 25 days, but he actually had been working on it for like about 2 years before even shooting it.
And then on top of that, as you said, like natural light and using that. But some of these shots holding on to the woods as you're seeing it, and it makes it super ominous because you got like the gray skies, but this broken symphonic orchestral score
lots of strings, lots of
oh my
like
God.
Droning sort of like C notes and stuff. It's an excellent piece of tension that where music it often scores in a lot of horror films, actually.
Yeah.
They often tell what the audience should feel, and that's kind of, I think, the mistake, where as the audience should feel like the score should evoke something that's setting the tone of that scene.
It makes
a lot
you,
of the
yeah,
things
yeah,
that we're
yeah.
looking at in The Witch are not inherently terrifying if you look at them at face value, but like when you are paired with these things, you automatically associate this dread.
It's a very unsettling film.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of... the way that it's shot and because of the music that is used in it. And the dialogue definitely helps with that as well. The way that it's written out.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can... The film centers around our main character, Thomason.
Yeah.
A young girl, about 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And a series of events starts to happen where the youngest baby goes missing in a... kind of amazingly just
out of nowhere, so quickly.
Yeah, in a brief game of peekaboo.
Right.
Is just peekaboo, baby's gone.
Baby just
no
gone.
No idea where the baby went.
Yeah.
And it begins this interesting sort of thriller of tension and conspiracy and religious doubt. And I think what made... Because you had a bit of a... lament about a script that would be like, oh, will they, won't they, that kind of drones on where you clearly know something's up. But in this movie, I feel like this movie could have gone either way, and we'll get into the ending because I think the ending is stellar, but there's a clear definition as to whether or not this idea of witchcraft or devil worship is quote unquote real or really happening, or if it's all sort of a figment of the family's paranoia.
See, you kind of wonder that, and I think at one point there in the script was something that more alluded to it. It might be
right. Yes,
there may be more to what's happening to them. We'll get into that a little more towards the ending, but you see a witch right away, pretty soon into it. Like,
well, to be fair, you don't even really. I think you would say, you would call it a witch because the only reason that I would call it a witch is because the movie is called The Witch.
I would because it takes a lot of the fairy tale stuff of like the old wrinkled hag, and in this case, that's what she is when mm-hmm. you see her in the beginning. The scene with the baby, you know you've gone crossed a line, and then at that point you know there's no
just
going
when
back.
You see that like withered hand just like kind of caressing that baby in a very strange and unsettling way, and then just pound pound pound
the
pound,
churning
pound.
Scene
and it's in a weird way like tastefully done and also like horrendous.
It's
to
not
see.
Yeah, it's not overly graphic, but it definitely has that.
You know exactly what you're seeing and it still terrifies you.
Oh, because you know what it is. They didn't have to blatantly do it and like hit you over the head with it, but you know what's happened. It's this imagery that's just like super morbid, super fucked up.
Because I feel like a lesser film would play with the idea of the witch just messing with them and just kind of like that baby scene would have been very brutal and too much.
Or
but
they would have had the witch would have had some weird dialogue or something talking about like why she's doing what she's doing and what her plans are. And you know, they're not doing that. They're leaving it up to
a classier film than that. It's a smarter film.
Oh, it's a way smarter film than that because you know, you're left thinking one thing just off of that. But then, you know, you're dealing with a lot of stories that are happening. It's Thomason's coming-of-age story, but also her, like, younger brother, his coming-of-age story, because now, you know, he's been told never to go into the woods after the baby goes missing. His father, who I expected to be, because of such the religious overtones in it, I expected him to be very aggressive.
Right.
And not necessarily abusive towards the family, but the type who wouldn't put up with a lot of shit.
Rather cold.
And he is the complete opposite of
that. No, he's kind of compassionate, albeit a bit stern.
I think stern, but like the way that the kids are able to talk to him sometimes, and the way like the son is able to lie to his mother and he kind of like just accepts it because he knows it's for like a good reason.
Right.
Because to him, he's super religious because he thinks, you know, every human is born into sin because that's what the Bible tells him.
Right.
So all of them contain sin. So when their son goes missing, they're thinking because he wasn't baptized, he's going to hell.
Exactly. And the great reason that this movie kind of toes the line between these very well-defined characters and this sense of dread is the fact that it almost immerses you so well in the attitude of what the time was, because the idea that there's a scene where Thomason's younger brother kind of looks at his sister in a bit of a sexualized way, and you're kind of wondering why this is happening, and then you have to think, well, this is he's clearly in the throes of puberty, and this is probably the only woman around his age that he has ever come into contact with
since they left.
And the fact that he's hunting and doing all these things, like at 14 or 13, you're basically an adult right now.
Yeah.
Like you are just starting to learn how to fend for yourself for sure. Like he's firing a gun and hunting rabbits pretty much on his own.
I mean, they're literally just trying to survive. They're trying to live off the land. And their crop just isn't coming together. I mean, the corn's rotten, you know, it's got that.
And they don't have that sense of community that they would have had in the colony to kind of bounce that paranoia off of or actually relate to, because for some reason they have been banished.
Yeah.
And they're kind of at odds with each other because they still have to survive. And that's clearly a struggle for them. because they're not good at it. They're not good at farming.
It almost seems like, and they bring it up a few times, that they feel like the whole land is cursed. Like when they left, that there was a curse put upon them. And you kind of do see that happen throughout, especially those creepy ass twins.
Right, yeah.
and Black Phillip, the goat.
Which as you keep hearing it, it seems absurd. Because you think it's a story that the twins make up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that kids would do, clearly, at that age.
Yeah.
And it would just feed into the paranoia. And the character of the mother, we need to talk about, like, all of this, about how this kind of feeds into the misery that mother puts on the rest of the family, especially the father.
Yeah.
It's an excellent, excellent character piece. Because all of these characters are very, even the children, are very well defined.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know exactly why they're doing what they're doing. When it comes time for Caleb to be seduced by the witch, she has clearly had a victim. She is, I guess you could say, powerful because she has disguised herself as a rabbit, seemingly. And this is all not blatantly said, by the way.
You see an old woman in the beginning. She covers herself in newborn blood.
Right.
And then the next time you see her, she's young and she's got this like cottage in the middle of the woods, and Caleb, looking for
a rabbit or something
for a rabbit, because he's gonna hunt and he's gonna be the one to provide food. He wants to like kind of show off with that. Keeps going in the woods trying to go after, you know, his dog that's run off, and he finds the dog dead.
Yeah.
And then sees this woman in the woods and is seduced by her. She kisses him. And honestly, I was like, well, I guess we're never seeing him again.
Right. And
the way I thought about it.
And I think the only thing that kind of broke me out of seeing this movie is I think that the way that woman was dressed just kind of, it threw me back to like an Evanescence video for some reason. It was just foggy and there were trees and she was dressed like Little Red Riding Hood
I think that kind of like works with what they were going for in
right.
this.
It is inherently cliche, but there's a reason that it is, and it's because it came from that time.
Right.
And that was just the one thing where I'm just like, that's a weird pull for me to see.
Yeah,
but it makes total sense.
A little bit. You kind of start wondering, like, is this in this kid's head or is it actually happening?
Right.
But then, you know, you don't see him. You think, all right, well, this kid has to be dead. And then he ends up coming back later. But everyone keeps thinking, because all this shit keeps happening around Thomason, that Thomason's the witch. And Thomason has even, like, messed around with her little sister and said, one of the twins, and was like no, I'm the witch. I'm the one who did all this. Because she's bored. She's like living in this place, and she's
a kid that wants her little sisters to shut up.
Yeah, her little sister
and
her.
And so she wants to scare them.
Yeah, her,
like that's it.
I mean, those twins are creepy as shit.
Yeah, they are. It's really, really cool.
They remind me. They look like little Warwick Davises.
Now we cannot confirm that was not indeed Warwick Davis twice over in children masks. But
God, if that were, that would be amazing.
Again, now, another technical masterpiece of filmmaking.
It seems like the movie Willow, basically. Like they're like they should have those two should have been extras in the movie Willow.
This movie is literally if Willow went on for about another hour and a half.
Yeah,
that's just
this is like
happened.
A side story of everything that happened in that place. Yeah, I mean, this movie definitely goes way different than I expected it to. You really do start getting the witches thrown in there. You know, terrible stuff starts happening to the family. People start going crazy. And what I thought was really interesting about it, it was written in the script that the director had put the idea that there was a fungus that was growing on the corn. And if they had been eating that corn or anything made with that corn, it could have also helped them hallucinate.
True.
Because that's what that, I forget exactly what they call it, but it's whenever that corn goes bad and it gets that rot on it.
Right.
Eat that, you can start hallucinating severely. Mm-hmm. So the combination of multiple things where it's like, there's the witch, but there's also this.
Yeah, and you don't have a really clear answer as to what's going on. But then when Caleb comes back to the family, clearly gravely ill.
And naked now.
Yes, and naked, and God knows what's happened to him. The family cares for him, and he starts writhing in sort of these biblical terms, and he's clearly sick. And
some of it gets crazy, because it seems like when he's talking about God, some of it almost gets really sexual with how he's talking about
it. Right, and clearly above his his sort of, like, I guess, knowledge base?
Way above his knowledge base. So you start wondering, like, what the hell is going on with this kid? The twins, like, start having seizures and can't finish the Lord's Prayer, which is another hint at, like, if you're possessed by a witch or under the influence of a witch,
like, they can't do it.
You're not able to finish it. But it seems like, are they messing around? Are they not messing around? Mm-hmm. Like, they try to throw Thomason under the bus, and then she's throwing them under. The kids keep talking about Black Phillip and everything, which
the father's just trying to keep his family together.
The father does, I mean, he doesn't know what to believe, and it's like you see him kind of break down multiple times.
Right, and even when his own wife confronts him about the idea of Thomason actually being a witch and being the problem of all of this, like, he is so conflicted.
Oh, he's so conflicted because he doesn't want to believe it because it's another kid of his. All of a sudden, he's taken away.
And he's almost certain that his wife is, like, driven insane by the loss of now two children.
Yeah. Except now she's seeing the dead kids.
Right.
Like, she's seeing the dead kids, the crow scene pulling at her, like, eating at her breast, and then the next day you just see that she's got blood underneath her.
And I think that was probably the most terrifying moment of this film.
That was a fucked up... Dude, that moment of just her sitting there just kind of, like, smiling. Like,
laughing.
Laughing, and the crow is, like, tearing at her breath. I'm like, what? How are they going to explain this? And it's just as simple as the next day.
Right.
Her sleeping gown has a little blood on it, and she's...
It seems like, oh, so that happened. That clearly happened.
It clearly happened. And then you're just kind of wondering, like... Is the family under the influence of multiple things? Is it witchcraft on top of this toxic corn that they're eating? Because what else do they have to eat?
And at this point, I am both terrified and captivated by this movie.
It's
genuinely off-putting, but I cannot not look away and figure out what happens.
I mean, it went by pretty quickly too. It's one of those films that, you know, with a lot of modern horror films, like, I sometimes will sit there and kind of, like, check the time or pause it to be like
it was, okay, tick this box narratively.
I'm like, okay, how far are we into this movie? And I'm like very interested in the witch, and I'm really getting into it, and then I finally pause it and it's got 20 minutes left.
And you're like, where do you go from here?
And I'm like, what the hell is about to happen?
Like, how are you gonna wrap this up?
And they do and wrap it up very quickly and effectively.
It's surprisingly so, because, again, all of these tensions come to a head after you have that nightmare scene, basically, you could say.
Yeah.
And it's the morning after, and the barn door that, or the pen that has been locked Thomason and the twins in has now been broken out of because the witch or the old woman has, like, just eaten the children.
Drank from the bloody teat of a goat.
Right.
And then you see the goats dead there the next day. They've both been, like, shriveled up into nothing.
Right.
And then the twins are gone. They're just gone.
And then the father, now crestfallen, has to go on to this, like, sort of head-to-head battle with Black Phillip now.
Black Phillip, straight up, yeah, all of a sudden comes out of nowhere and gores him. And he falls into the woodpile, and at first you're like, he picks up the axe like he's going to try and kill Black Phillip, but it literally is too much for him.
And as we even say this, all of this sounds insane, but in the moment as you're seeing it, it doesn't even make a whole bunch of sense, but you're still captivated as to how it's happening.
I mean, I think to me it made a lot of sense because it went with what its basic premise was, and then really just kind of, like, drove it home. It gave you this idea of Black Phillip could be an actual representation, because, you know, goats were a big thing of the devil and witchcraft. That was a big representation of it. So to actually see Black Phillip, like, you're like, shit, this thing is actually evil. It's
right.
Like Gordon. And,
but it's, again...
But you're still unsure at that point.
I was certain that there was either a witch or a woman or something messing with them.
Right.
Clearly, but I wasn't even certain about, like, okay, well, how can Black Phillip be anything to do with this? Because, I got the mythology of the goat, but there was no certain thing.
Yeah.
Outside of him possibly being gored until the ending. that actually confirms that, like, okay, Black Phillip is the one that's behind all of this.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So then we get to, okay, the whole family's dead. Thomason's the only one alive.
Well, the mother attacks Thomason. Oh, right. Thomason has to defend herself. She basically, at this point, was like, you know, goes in, because Black Phillip goes into this, like, hut, like, walks back into his pen area. She wants to talk to Black Phillip because she knows that she's not a witch. And she knows that the twins probably were, you know, fucking around where they shouldn't have
that
been.
That, in fact, she's got really nothing left.
She's got nothing. She's got nothing. I mean, what else is she going to do? So, you know, she says she wants to talk to them and she wants to know, you know, what's going on. And then all of a sudden, when you're not expecting anything to happen, you get
just
a voice.
Just a whisper.
You get this
whisper.
This whisper of, like, what is it that you want?
And then, like, at that point, I was just like,
and all
like
of a sudden,
that was euphoric. To
yeah,
hear.
And then a figure walks behind her,
like
and you're
Jack
just
Sparrow,
like
just
kind
by,
of like, yeah,
it was awesome.
So you realize at this point, like, Black Phillip's a fucking warlock.
Like this, yeah, and he's dressed as like a seductive pirate, kind of a thing.
Kind of,
he's
yeah.
Got,
I mean,
he's got like the clinky boots and like
he
the
definitely,
big hat
yeah,
and all this stuff.
Yeah, he definitely has that like evil 1600s vibe too. And Black Phillip almost sounds like a pirate name too.
True, but like he would appear to her as a sort of traveled or well-mannered
right.
man
yeah.
that has seen the world and was like, would you like the taste of butter? Would you like to see the world?
Yeah.
Sort of a thing to tempt her. Like, it's an awesome, awesome thing. And then just cut to her walking into the woods naked as the goat is leading her along.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is insane. This movie's amazing.
And then you see that it's not one witch. It's a fucking coven.
But, like, yeah, it's, like, seven women.
So, it now made more sense that, like, how all of this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, it wasn't just one witch attacking them that night. It was probably multiple ones.
Or however sort of magic or whatever
seemed to come
to
them. Or whatever was going on.
Yeah.
But, like, when you see that moment, you see it's a coven of witches, and they start floating and, like, levitating and shit. At that point, you're like, this is a very special film.
It is, because a lot of things are still kind of left ambiguous, but it doesn't really matter because you can easily draw those narrative lines of, like, it doesn't matter exactly how they were messing with them, because it was just, it was magic. It literally was magic.
The fact that, okay, the thing that impresses me the most about this film is that it did deal with magic. It wasn't just, was it? Did it actually happen? What's really going
yeah.
on? It was straight up like, no, there are these witches, there's a coven, this shit fucking happened. Black Phillip is like a warlock and is leading everyone yeah. or in charge of it.
And as terrifying and as effective as the movie is, it made it feel all the more real.
It made it satisfying. Like, you know, you go in there and you see the film and it's not a cop-out. A lot of these movies, they want to cop-out with a final scene and the twist is like, it was all in someone's head. Or
right,
it
yeah.
was all this all mm-hmm. along. Like, the fact that it's called The Witch. It deals with a witch.
But it almost kind of presents not really a mystery, but like a shit, is it a witch? Or is it just like them kind of going crazy? But then you're like, no, it is witchcraft.
I think it's a combination. Well, like
yeah.
whether, you know, you want to say it's just like the rotten corn on top of everything else.
Oh no, I think that it toes the will they or won't they line all the way up until the end.
Right.
Very effectively
yeah.
so that like that movie could have gone either way and I would have been on board, and I'm kind of more glad that it went the way that it
I'm
did.
I'm so glad it
because
went the way it
that's
did.
Just awesome and crazy.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is a insanely special movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like one for the ages, and I really really I'm certain that it will, but I really hope this movie endures.
No, it already seems to have there's a lot of hype behind it, and you know, people are going to either people are either going to love it or hate it, I think. Because I could definitely see a large audience not really being into the way that the script is done.
Very true. I can understand
that. Or like the dialogue, because it's very pretty much like Old English the entire time. But
yeah, they're very much speaking the King's English. And
right.
like the style of the time, which is very jarring in the beginning.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, like, you can clearly understand. It's like Shakespeare. Once you
right,
once you
right.
sit there for
and
a half hour, you get what they're saying.
That's where, you know, you'll end up with some people who are definitely, like, all about this film, but you're also, it's definitely going to have its detractors, too.
I'm not quite sure why though? I can understand why it can, why some films can be divisive. Like, I love Speed Racer. I could easily tell why somebody hates that movie, but I love it. I don't know why anybody doesn't like The Witch. I think it's probably because people have a lack of patience for things that, like, they need definitive answers right away.
Right.
And a movie like this doesn't exactly give it to them until the very end, and even by then they wouldn't have been satisfied. I'm not quite sure. I don't get it.
You don't really know what you're getting into at first. You just think it's going to be like a historical period piece, yeah, or something where...
And it, by most accounts, it is.
It is. It is. But it's very effective in the way that it's done. It, I think the only reason people wouldn't like it is because some people might say it's too artsy.
True.
And yeah, some people,
and
you know...
it takes its time.
It takes its time, and some people want their hard... they want it to be dumb. Some people want their hard dumbed down and just splatter for the sake of splatter. This is an intelligent horror film that kind of, like... It bridges the gap between, like, a historical period piece and a scary as hell horror film.
Absolutely. I think this is a borderline, like... Kubrickian in its
yeah, I mean,
technical
it's,
prowess.
It's a classic that it'll stand the test of time, guaranteed.
Absolutely, as it should. It definitely should.
No, it definitely should. I was super impressed with it, and that's saying a lot. Just because, you know, I've seen a lot of these smaller indie films that get a lot of hype behind them, and they're, you know, thrillers or whatever, and they get all this tons of accolades. But then I see them, and I'm like, what the hell, man? This was overhyped to hell. And I think The Witch, as much hype as people gave it, I don't think they gave it enough.
No, it didn't. Because I still run into people that have not either heard of it or seen it. And I was like, man, this should have caught on.
Well,
like,
I mean, I think the hype that I've heard from it, like, I expected a certain thing, but I didn't expect what I got, and I'm glad about that.
Because films like this are so, so, so rare.
Yeah, extremely rare. You don't get stuff like this very often. Because
when something like this comes, you don't see it coming. You don't expect that a movie can be like this or do this.
Right.
Especially from a first-time director. God.
I mean, like, he was like a theater director, though,
he was
right?
A theater director, and he's done some short films, and he was mainly a production designer on a lot of horror films. But again, like, hats off to you, dude. Like, you know what you're doing.
Some people just know the genre. They know what they're trying to do with it, you know? They have a story that they want to tell, and they're doing it effectively. And this one was done from beginning to end extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A thoroughly, thoroughly impressive movie, and one that I think can easily stand head and shoulders with some of the greats and some of the classics that we're going to be talking about later on.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm glad you got me to watch this one.
Yes.
You know, I was hesitant just for a while based on, you know, the fact that I don't want to be let down.
True.
When there's that much hype behind
some of these films. It's quite a bit of hype around this one.
There was quite a bit of hype, but I think, like, this easily exceeded the hype. And that's what I want to be able to find more of. But, you know, as I've said multiple times, modern horror, I think the reason it gets people dig some of these films so much is because they're desperate for something good. Ever since the PG-13-ification of a lot of horror, anything that comes out that's R, people are jumping all over. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good.
Very true.
You know?
Very true.
And they want, like, the 80s was such a big time for these, like, cult classics and iconic characters that people are, it seems, desperate to find that new character or that new type of film that brings back that nostalgia to it. And I think The Witch, it's its own thing that I haven't really seen another film like
do. Yeah, it is a breath of fresh air amongst a lot of toxicity in horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowadays.
And that's what's really, really great about it. And even with the ending, I mean, with the whole levitating thing, I'm like, all right,
I could buy it at this point.
I could buy it, yeah, sure. I mean, it wasn't...
And to be fair, you actually did see a bit of it in the beginning when we saw the old woman. Because what we saw, like, in that blur kind of coming up to the sky for some reason... now having seen that, I watched it again. Oh, that woman's clearly levitating.
She like morphs into a crow or something. Right, yeah. I just thought that the way that it was done was really well done. And then like the way that it was presented was well done. I mean,
And in no way pretentious. When we say artsy, people often think like pretentious and kind of up its own butt with like imagery.
No, and there are a lot of those movies out there.
Absolutely. That claim to be horror as well.
And that's the same thing, is that they do those long shots. You know, the music is... sometimes way too jarring, but I feel like that's it. They stay on those shots for so long and play the music for so long, almost a little too long, but like that's what makes it great.
And as opposed to a director kind of just being indulgent and just doing all of these technically dazzling thing just because he can, it fills an amazing purpose in the story.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel all that more real.
And you just get amazing characters.
Exactly. Like, I mean, yeah. We keep gushing, and that's really all we do.
So what it comes down to at the end of the day, yeah, good call on this, man.
Yeah,
this was definitely, I enjoyed it a lot. I talked to some people at work about this film too, and they agreed. The ones who'd seen it like really, really like it.
Yeah. But yes, so go out and see The Witch, please. Go.
Hopefully you've already seen it. I mean, we gave you guys a spoiler ahead of the show, so...
For sure, hopefully. But if you haven't, and for some reason you're still listening to us, stop listening to us and go see The Witch.
Or, yeah, stop of listening like 20 minutes ago when we started sure. spoiling it. Go back in time, forget what you heard, and then go see The Witch.
Honestly, we could have said the entire movie, it wouldn't even live up to how you would see that on film.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you, and we have with how the music and everything is, but until you're watching it, then you're like, oh, yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of Oh, the Horror. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to find out more about us, you can follow us on Twitter at Oh, the Horror Cast, and you can find us, of course, on Libsyn, iTunes, and pretty much anywhere that you find podcasts nowadays. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook as well, because we update pretty much every other week as we can, and hopefully we can get you some more episodes in the future. Thank you guys so much. I have been the newbie, Steve Allman.
And I'm still Rob Holmes.
I'm calling you the expert.
All right.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Come, it is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.